Gazkul Mag Uruk Thraka is a mighty prophet of the Wa, capable of rousing entire planetary populations of orcs into a frenzy of conquest and bloodshed. He is the single most influential greenskin in the galaxy, and billions march to war in his name. Even more terrifying, since his near death on Krongar, Gazkul has returned bigger and badder than ever before. Gazkul started his career as a common Goth warrior on the backwater planet of Urk. During a raid upon a Space Marine's command sanctum, Gazkul caught a bolter shell to the face that pulped a large area of his cranium and caused extensive brain damage. A Death Skull's pain boy by the name of Mad Doc Grotznik was close to hand and replaced part of Gazkul's cerebrum with bionics made from adamantine. This experimental augmentation had two distinct side effects, besides preventing Gazkul's demise. Firstly, it afforded even greater protection to what was left of his brain. Secondly, and most crucially for the wider galaxy, Grotznik's surgery also triggered something deep within Gazkul's mind. A manic, new glint had entered his blood-red eyes. Fresh drive and ambition invigorated his formerly unremarkable existence. Gazkul claimed to be receiving visions sent by Gork and Mork themselves. Visions that urged him on to power and conquest. From that day, Gazkul's rise to power was meteoric. Those orcs of Urk who didn't fall in line were rapidly bludgeoned into submission. Gazkul had brawn and belligerence enough to establish his dominance over the entire world. Few of his subjects gave much thought as to whether their new warlord was really talking to the gods, or was simply a delusional megalomaniac. When the planet's star began to flicker and perish, Gazkul hailed this as a sign from Gork and Mork that it was time for the Wa to depart this world and stomp the galaxy flat. By some dark quirk of fortune, Gazkul and his hordes were able to capture and board the Space Hulk World Killer in their moment of need, and set off across the stars. Bursting into real space, after an anarchic span of time spent in the warp, Wa Gazkul emerged into a rich and prosperous imperial system. They wasted no time in falling upon its capital world, Armageddon, a world that would make Gazkul's name. The world of Armageddon was a rich hub of commerce, military industry, and transportation that lay upon a key warp route towards the Segmentum Solar. It was well-resourced and heavily defended by naval assets, regiment upon regiment of Astra Militarum, and a mighty complement of the Iron Skull's Titan Legion. For all of this, Armageddon wasn't ready Harper Gaskell. Not only did the visionary warlord have immense numbers and overwhelming momentum on his side, Armageddon's planetary governor, Hermann von Straub, was also a disastrously incompetent egomaniac. Straub's piecemeal attempts to deal with what he sneeringly viewed as the orc irritant, while keeping up appearances with the wider Imperium, played right into Gaskell's jagged claws. Wah Gaskell rampaged across the continent of Armageddon Prime, crushing each regiment of planetary defenders and cannibalizing their wrecked tanks. As one bastion after another fell, still Straub did not send for aid. Instead, this duty was taken up by a redoubtable Imperial commissar named Yarik, an act of disobedience for which he was exiled to remote Hive Hades. Meanwhile, Gaskell's hordes crossed the green hell of Armageddon's equatorial jungles, where Straub had claimed they would not tread. Having reached the continent of Armageddon Secundus, they crushed the Iron Skull's titans and left their graffiti-scrawled wreckage to burn. Gaskell himself led the storming of Hive Infernus just as the season of storms descended. He loosed wild war bands of speed freaks into the ash wastes to run down refugees and retreating Imperial military assets as they tried to reach the safety of Hive cities further south. In desperation, Straub unleashed his ancient stockpile of virus bombs. But amidst the tight-packed battlefields of Armageddon Secundus, human casualties from these indiscriminate weapons were as severe as those suffered by the orcs. All the while, Gaskell drove his Wah onward with unbreakable determination, crushing Hive Hell's Reach despite the suicidal courage of the city's defenders. Then came the siege of Hive Hades, and with it, a sudden change in the fortunes of war. Under the leadership of the exiled Commissar Yarik, Hive Hades defenders fought as if possessed. So spectacular was the battle, so slow the orc advance, that Gaskell came to lead the siege in person. Showing cunning far in excess of the average Goth warlord, Gaskell employed all the tactics and stratagems he could dream up, but Yarik countered each new scheme. Orcs fought volunteer defense militia along every processional, every barricade, and even through the Hive's myriad ducts and crawlways. In Yarik, Gaskell had met an enemy worth the fight. The Grand Warlord swiftly became obsessed with defeating this tenacious and respected foe. Obsession is both the strength and the weakness of the orcs, the same tendencies that make them relentless foes, reckless pilots, and prolific, if manic, inventors, also lead them to ruin. So it was with Gaskell at Hive Hades. The meat grinder around the besieged hive sucked in ever more orc material and warriors, leaving those war bands assailing Hive Tartarus and Hive Acheron ill-directed and short of reinforcements. When Imperial support showed up in the form of Ultramarines, Salamanders, and Blood Angel Space Marines, the secondary Orc hordes could not hold. Even beset as the Greenskins were by the freshly arrived Adeptus Astartes, Gaskell did not give up. He again proved his superiority to most Greenskins by recognizing the damage his obsession had caused, and setting plans in motion to redress the balance. Now, though, he faced the unified strategic brilliance of Blood Angel's commander Dante and his allied Space Marine commanders. Coupled with Yarik's hideously costly defense of the ruined Hive Hades, Gaskell's wah was at last broken. Nearly every Orc warlord in history has gone down fighting alongside their warband. Not so Gaskell. He fled Armageddon, leaving the world infested with scattered Greenskins and vowing to one day return. After all, Armageddon had put up the best fight Gaskell had ever experienced. He wasn't about to pass up a chance to enjoy that all over again. 57 years to the day after his defeat on Armageddon, Gaskell returned at the head of a still more enormous WA. The planet's defenders had spent decades rebuilding and fortifying against the coming of the Grand Warlord, who they now knew as the Beast of Armageddon. Yet, Gaskell had also not been idle. He had spent years fighting one brutal conflict after another, both to subjugate rival war bands and also to test and perfect strange new weapons technologies against which his enemies could not hope to be prepared. Many and exhaustive are the accounts of the conflict that followed. Gaskell brought a war that his enemies and even a number of his own underlings were utterly wrong-footed by. The Grand Warlord had mercenary freebooters strike at agri-worlds and shipping around Armageddon, both to choke off supply routes and to spread terror at his approach. He hit the system with multiple, roughly coordinated Orc fleets, the better to encircle and destroy the Imperial naval defenses. Rather than get drawn into another fight for Hive Hades, Gaskell had his space hulks deploy tractor beams, using them to ensnare asteroids before releasing them on Hades from low orbit. He unleashed drop fortresses known as rocks, built scrap iron submersibles to cross the planet's storm-lashed oceans, directed super teleporters to beam towering war effigies directly into battle. For all this, the Imperium hurled in tides of reinforcements. The battle for Armageddon became an endless, grinding war of attrition, despite all Gaskell's best efforts. As the conflict ground ever on, so the Grand Warlord suffered increasingly painful and garish visions sent by Gork and Mork. And then, with no warning at all, Gaskell was simply gone. Some say the Grand Warlord experienced an almighty megavision in which Gork and Mork charged him with a new task. Others say the great green gods plucked Gaskell up and cast him across the stars as a spur to action. Others still claim that he was simply struck by inspiration and ambition, or, according to official yet absurdly unlikely imperial propaganda, that he simply turned tail and fled. Whatever the case, Gaskell's departure from Armageddon appears to have come just before Gork's grin split the galaxy. After it did, strange reports started to reach Imperial sources of the Beast of Armageddon leading planetary invasions in sectors many light years apart. Surely, said those few observers with the ability to piece the reports together, some accounts had to be mistaken. There was no way Gaskell could be in so many places at once. In defiance of all logic, however, the attacks continued. What no one yet realized was that Gaskell had embarked upon his grandest plan to date. He no longer led a Wa, but rather a great Wa. He had set himself against not a single world, nor even a system or species, but the entire galaxy. And in order to fight and beat every last sentient being that could be found amongst the stars, he had planned to gather the totality of the orc species to his boss pole, or die trying. Since Gaskell began this seemingly impossible endeavor, strange things have been occurring. More orc Wa's than ever are springing up, with a disproportionate number traveling unerringly towards wherever Gaskell is at that moment. Of course, with the Grand Warlord plunging in and out of Gork's grin like a lunatic, this has still seen many orc tribes rampaging back and forth across the stars in a seemingly random and anarchic fashion. Yet, gradually, more and more orcs are rallying to Gaskell's side. With each fresh influx, he clobbers whatever big brute warlord seeks to challenge him and folds their followers into his own teeming ranks. Even those who seek to stop Gaskell's rampage only seem to lend him more impetus. Every rival he beats increases his notoriety. When worlds such as Karaheim and Abstinasis put up resolute defense against his invading hordes, Gaskell only won greater renown when he finally crushed them. Rumor has it that the Eldari craft world of Elytok and the Savage Warriors of the Space Wolves chapter have both taken their turn in striking at the Grand Warlord in the hopes of slaying him, and thus breaking his great Wa. The latter came closest to achieving their aim. The mighty wolf lord, Ragnar Blackmane, met Gaskell in battle upon the hive world of Krongar, almost sealing both combatants' mutual destruction. Yet, even as the broken Blackmane is being borne across the Rubicon Primaris, following his crippling injuries, so was Mad Doc Rotsnik recapitating his beloved warlord, onto a mighty new super orc body that he had spent many decades perfecting. So it is that Gazkul Thraka is now bigger and more terrifying than ever, boasting an armored bulk more akin to a Gorkonaut than a war boss. Gazkul also wields the weaponry to match. Gork's claw is so vast that its blades can enfold a fully armored Primaris Space Marine and slice them neatly into steaming chunks. Mork's roar, his custom shooter, generates so much Daka that its victims don't so much die, simply evaporate into red haze. Gazkul is a living war engine, a walking embodiment of Gork and Mork, and the greatest prophet of the Wa to bestride the stars in millennia. He is coming for the entire galaxy, and some begin to fear that it's a fight he just might win. Boss Zagstruck. A merciless killer and a fanatical disciplinarian, Boss Zagstruck is the feared leader of a band of storm boys known as the Vulture Squad. He despises weakness and loves nothing more than bullying those smaller than him into doing precisely what they are told. He is a holy terror whose mood swings between foul temper and murderous fury at the slightest provocation. The rumor goes that Zagstruck was born in the center of a human settlement, and that he quickly throttled his way across the hinterlands to his parent tribe. His warriors say that every day of his life Zagstruck has made at least one kill. Certainly he looks for any excuse for a fight. Zagstruck's ferocious glare is enough to cow almost any orc into submission, and has been known to stop a rampaging Squiggoth in its tracks. The Vulture Squad hold their leader in high esteem, and while as dense as any other orcs, have the sense to fear his famous rages. DeBoss, as his disciples call him, never lowers his voice below a shout, and executes any greenskin showing insubordination or cowardice on the spot. So fearsome has DeBoss's reputation grown, and so ambitious has he become since Gork's grin split the stars, that he now leads a warband as big as any war boss's. He has also become lord and master of the conquered St. Resbin's Hope, former shrine world now known as Planet Zag. This world boasts enough military encampments, parade grounds, and mechs workshops to satisfy even the most demanding of Blood Axe war bosses. It also features a formerly holy mountain, now graven by captive imperial sculptors into a titanic likeness of Zagstruck's snarling face. In Zagstruck's horde, the Vulture Squad stand front and center, riding into battle aboard a massive red fighter bomber called De Vulture. Led by DeBoss, the elite Storm Boys leap from this thundering behemoth's bomb bays directly into battle, hurtling down into the midst of the foe like a salvo air-to-ground missiles. This signature attack is made all the more devastating by Zagstruck's own war gear. The bionics known as the Vulture's Claws. These piston-driven and power-clawed augmentic legs enhance Zagstruck's already formidable strength to the extent that when he plummets down to make contact with the enemy, it is invariably with a sickening crunch. Boss Snickrot. Boss Snickrot is that most terrifying of things. An orc with an agenda and the feral intellect to back it up. Arguably the most cunning, sneaky, and vicious orc commando in the galaxy, Snickrot haunts the equatorial jungles of the world of Armageddon. The infamous orc hunters of the Armageddon Imperial Guard fear only one orc. In the dark nights of the equatorial jungles, these grizzled veterans whisper tales of Boss Snickrot, the Stalker. They tell of a killer who can pass through throttle vine groves without disturbing a single leaf, and of his luckless victims left to bleed to death with their eyes put out and their scalps ripped free. Boss Snickrot was a commando in high regard when Wah Gaskell first fell upon Armageddon. His was amongst the first tribes to navigate the Green Hell separating Armageddon Prime from Armageddon Secundus. However, when they ran into the jungle defenses around Cerberus Base, they were all but annihilated. Snickrot pulled his commandos out of the debacle and led them away into the thick jungle, vowing that they would conquer the environment before taking on the Imperial forces. This they did with single-minded focus, becoming one with their savage environs. Snickrot and his lads stripped their kit back to bare essentials. They refined their talents for stealth and sabotage until they were able to slip undetected into Astra Militarum positions, butchering and slitting the throats of all within them. By the time Gaskell returned to Armageddon for his second, even greater war, the Red Skull Commandos, so named for daubing their heads with their victims' blood, were infamous. By this time, the legend of Snickrot had spread to hive cities across the planet's surface. Some spoke of a feral ghost who drank the blood of his prey, while others told of a murderous beast who wore the dog tags of his victims upon his chain-wrapped forearms, the better to whisper their names to the jungle moon. To this day, Snickrot is one of the most feared of all greenskins. Even the orc hunters pray to the Emperor that it is not their necks that the Stalker buries his knife into next. Of late, a number of orcs have been given cause to hope for the same thing. With the demons of chaos spilling onto Armageddon, Imperial and Greenskin forces have been compelled, in extreme cases, to temporarily fight side by side against the greater threat. Snickrot is disgusted by such compromise, seeing it as weakness, and is quick to punish those orc leaders guilty of it. More than one Nob has been dragged into the shadows, his severed head turning up on a spike shortly afterwards, as a warning against mobbing up with Umis. Mad Doc Grotsnick. Grotsnick is a cut and dried lunatic and sadist. However, between the personal patronage of Gazgul Thraka and his own demented genius, he maintains his macabre reign of terror, despite the many greenskins who would like to see him end up on the wrong end of his own bone saws. Grotsnick always had an unhealthy fascination with rummaging about in other people's heads. This unsavory inclination brought him untold opportunity one day when an ugly golf orc named Gazkull, holding his brain in both hands, staggered into Grotsnick's tent. Grotsnick gleefully fitted his patient with a gleaming adamantine skull. More than this, while busying himself in Gazkull's cranium, he may have just triggered the very visions that led to the mighty Goth warlord's rise to power. Notoriety as the orc who made a legend brought Grotsnick both great fortune and even greater peril. He was able to convince the Nobs of his tribe to give themselves a Gazkull special, becoming rich from fitting metal crania to one hulking brute after another. However, being both paranoid and an absolute loon, Grotsnick also hid an explosive charge in each of these augments, just in case. When his victims found out what he had secretly done to them, they quickly arranged for the Doc to have a nasty accident involving a deaf dread, some supposedly faulty wiring, and a whirling buzzsaw to the bonds. Thanks to spirited, if inexpert, emergency brain surgery from his devoted grot orderlies, Grotsnick survived. During that long and bloody night, one Gretchen lost his lunch while elbows deep in Grotsnick's brain pan. The other lost a pet spider that scurried into the warmest, softest place it could find, the doxed, hinged open head. Grotsnick died several times during the procedure, but was brought back to life by an inventively applied grotprod. In the small hours of the morning, Grotsnick staggered out of the tent, clutching his new metal skull plate. He was alive, but quite, quite mad. Filled with manic glee, the Doc danced and sang in the moonlight, grisly explosions playing counterpoint to his operatic efforts as he triggered the Nob's explosive craniums one by one. Since that day, Grotsnick has remained in Gazkull's shadow and enjoyed the warlord's protection, which enables him to commit ever greater surgical atrocities. He has transplanted orcs' brains for live squigs. He has taken off several of his own limbs just to keep his hand in. and replaced them with donations from customers. And overcome with generosity, while out cold on the slab. After every battle, Grotsnik has his ghoulish pick of the bodies, leading his personal war band, the Corpse Looters, in the harvest. This macabre war band consists of many death skulls, some particularly unhinged pain boys, and a good portion of bad orc freebooters, who will bundle anything, or anyone, into the docks reeking meat wagons, providing they get paid. Grotsnik is particularly proud of the many cyborgs in this warband, as well as the graft-customized monsters he calls his Stitch Boys. With Gazkul's permission, Grotsnik also takes his pick of the Pain Boys from each new conquered warband, pressing them into service as orderlies. Invariably, these individuals eventually disappear without a trace. Dark rumors circulate of the gruesome brain bot in which Grotsnik supposedly preserves the accumulated know-whats of his failed assistants for later reference. Mazrod Scragbad. There's not an orc alive that is tougher or more ruggedly belligerent than Mazrod Scragbad. Boasting a craggier hide than a rock squig, enough bionics to keep a mob of 10 boys operational, and preternatural predatory instincts, he is the epitome of everything the average beast snagger aspires to become. Surly, monosyllabic, and perpetually exasperated, Mazrog always preferred the company of squigs to other greenskins. He spent his days in self-imposed exile, hunting one monstrous beast after another. Mazrog's tribe mates muttered that so much time alone had sent him a bit funny, but even they couldn't argue with his impressive tally of hunting trophies, so they left him to it. This status quo was broken when Mazrog's tribe joined Wa Gobgrinder during their invasion of Irwin II, a primordial world of soaring mountains and storm-lashed steppes. Irwin II was the adopted base of a warband of Iron Warriors Chaos Space Marines, whose massed artillery bombardments stirred the planet's titanic megafauna to fury. It was one such beast, a Goliath Gutmaw, that burst from the bedrock to swallow Mazrog whole during one of his hunts. The snakebite steed did not survive, but by a dubious stroke of fortune, Mazrog himself negotiated the chasm of fangs and lashing tongues. He fetched up alive, and very unimpressed, deep within the Gutmaw's immense innards. Stories of Mazrog's survival may have grown in the telling, but conventional wisdom has it that he clawed his way to freedom, killing the beast in the process. It is said that he staggered back into his tribe's camp, half digested and dragging one of the Gutmaw's punctured eyeballs behind him, like a giant sack full of slime. Impressed and possibly intimidated, warlord Gobgrinder had the best Pain Boys rebuild Mazrog with bionics. Known ever after as Scragbad, Mazrog has never been quite the same after his brush with death. He is driven always to seek bigger and nastier quarry, even than the Goliath Gutmaul that almost finished him off. Some orcs say that he can't be killed. Others that he will one day hunt the stars themselves. Whatever the truth, Mazrog now has to tolerate entire war bands of imitators, hangers-on, and potential rivals, trailing him on his hunts, and hoping to share in the glory of each fresh kill. So great has his following become that they often represent entire Beast Snaga warbands in their own right. Zodgrod Wart Snaga. Most orcs consider runts to be a waste of space and effort, good only for those tasks they can't be bothered with, or for eating. Not so Zodgrod Wart Snaga. This wild-eyed wanderer knows the secrets of breeding the best and baddest runts, and sells his peculiar services to the highest bidder. Runt herds are considered a bit peculiar. They hang about with runts, attempting to train and corral the little sneaks instead of cuffing them bloody on a whim. A runt herd keeps oral histories, has little time for know-whats, and comes across just a bit too surly to join in with their fellows' riotous behavior. Then there's their antisocial habit of smearing themselves in reeking squig dung, the better to avoid getting eaten when clambering through the beast pens. For all of this, orcs tolerate most runt herds, even affording them an odd sort of respect, if only because, for all of their peculiarities, they keep the tribe's grots and snots out from underfoot. Zodgrod Wart Snaga, however, is a different case entirely. Zodgrod has always had odd ideas. He was convinced that runts, and to a lesser extent, squigs, could be trained. Using jingling bells, tasty fungal treats, and an array of Pain Boy brewed serums, he managed to propagate superior grots, snots, and a variety of squig breeds. Zodgrod's menagerie were bigger, stronger, and more aggressive. They demonstrated, frankly, alarming levels of problem-solving abilities, and obeyed his commands with such loyalty that he barely ever had to apply the business end of his grot prod. Sadly for Zodgrod, orcs are rarely open to new ideas, and few amongst his tribe had the wisdom to see the value in his so-called super runts. Every time another of Zodgrod's pedigree squigs vanished under the wheels of some cackling speed freak, was sat on by a disinterested knob or shot, dismembered or devoured by other orcs just for the hell of it, Zodgrod became more withdrawn, isolated, and embittered. He finally cracked one day when a big mech from his tribe named Ozmog started indiscriminately launching super runts through his shock attack gun's tunnel, just to get his eye in. The rest of the tribe were highly impressed with the fashion in which Zodgrod overpowered Ozmog, and curious as to how precisely the Runtherd had crunched his victim down small enough to fire him from his own weapon. None of this was enough to spare Zodgrod and his surviving super runts from being exiled. This was, ironically, the best thing that could have happened to Zodgrod. Freed from the constraints of normal orc society, he embraced the freebooting life and sold his runt wrangling skills to those tribes with the smarts to see their use. Admittedly, such customers were rare at first. Zodgrod persisted, though, spending his teeth on ever more outlandish serums to bolster the abilities and aggression of his super runts. He also invested in a piston-powered, grab-a-stick-come-overcharged grot prod he called his Grab Zappa, and in a series of increasingly powerful combi needle sluggers he called his Squig Stoppers. He is currently up to the fifth iteration of this potent firearm, able to shoot his victims full of a bewildering range of specially tailored knockout serums. These may well work better thanks to Zodgrod's fervent conviction in them than through any actual science. Even the densest war boss can now see the worth of Zodgrod as a mad-eyed and lethal mercenary for hire. Once they've witnessed his hyper-metabolized super runs overrun the enemy in a froth-jawed tide, pilot Killiclans with terrifying ferocity, or lay down a double-speed barrage from their overheating mech guns, Zodgrod can virtually name his price.